Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 15. We'll be picking up with verse 8. And what this is it's a series of going through the different kings of Israel in that time in Judah, and some insight into their reign and some insight into their death. Also, even more importantly, what kind of a king they were, if they were a good or an evil king. And because too much is given, much is required. And when you're in a position of leadership, certainly a lot is required. And the last time we were in this, the first seven verses dealt with Azariah, or another name for Uzziah. He was a good king. He was a good king, but he did something he shouldn't have done. He intruded into the priestly duties, and the Lord ended up giving him leprosy. I mean, that's quite a strong punishment, but it's apparently quite a bad offense. But he went on to reign for 52 years, so he was there quite a while. And he did bring the kingdom into a place of prosperity. And what we learned was that even the rich and the wealthy are not immune from judgment from the hand of God. As we continue now in verse 8, in the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, over Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reign over Israel in Samaria 6 months. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And Shalom, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him and smote him before the people and slew him and reigned in his stead. And the rest of the acts of Zechariah, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. And this was the word of the Lord which he spoke unto Jehu, saying, Thy sons shall sit on the throne of Israel unto the fourth generation. And so it came to pass. And Shalom, the son of Jabesh, began to reign in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, and he reigned a full month in Samaria. For Menahem, the son of Gadai, went up from Tirzah and came to Samaria and smote Shalom, the son of Jabesh, in Samaria and slew him and reigned in his stead. And the rest of the acts of Shalom and his conspiracy which he made, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. So Zechariah here, he's the last of Jehu's line. Killed by Shalom after only 6 months reigning, and after 6 months as king. And Shalom was actually killed by Menahem after 1 month as king. This is a very unstable time in the government of Israel, obviously. Verse 16. Then Menahem slew Tifsa and all that were therein, and in the coast thereof from Tirzah, because they opened not to him. Therefore he smote it, and all the women therein that were with child he ripped up. In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, began Menahem, the son of Gadai, to reign over Israel, and reigned 10 years in Samaria. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. So Menahem here, he's king for 10 years, and got involved in calf worship, probably an Egyptian thing passed on by Aaron years ago during the Exodus from Egypt to the Promised Land. And verse 16 says that he, Menahem, cut open the pregnant women. In other words, it basically aborted the next generation, including the moms in the process. Verse 19, and Pul, the king of Assyria, came against the land, and Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom in his hand. And Menahem exacted the money of Israel, even of all the mighty men of wealth, of each man 50 shekels of silver to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and stayed not there in the land. And the rest of the acts of Menahem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Menahem gives says 1,000 talents of silver. In today's world, I think it's in the millions of dollars to bribe this king of Syria, and basically delaying the inevitable, which is the capture of the by the Assyrians, because of the national sin that they were in. They were rejecting the Lord. Verse 22, he says, and Menahem slept with his fathers, and Pekahiah, his son, reigned in his stead. In the 50th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, the son of Menahem, began to reign over Israel and Samaria, and reigned 2 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. But Pekah, the son of Remaliah, a captain of his, conspired against him and smote him in Syria in the place of the king's house, with Argob and Ariah, and with him 50 men of the Gileadites. And he killed him and reigned in his room. And the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. So here's this Mahanaim. He dies after 10 years. And his son Pekahiah rules, killed by Pekah, his army captain. And obviously, there's a lack of trust and integrity and loyalty amongst the people, and even the king's the people that he talks to, and it was in this action of being rebelled against God, there was a rebellion against God, and they put him on the back burner, and it destroyed the loyalty that they had to one another also, because the fact is, character from down inside really matters. Someone wrote, and I quote him here, be more concerned with your character than with your reputation. Your character is who you really are. Your reputation is merely what others think you are. And remember, every little decision or action in a normal day makes or unmakes our character. And a good reputation has good value. You may have heard of Bill Gaither and his wife. They were singers for years, gospel singers. And he wrote in his book, I Almost Missed the Sunset, he wrote the following. He said, Gloria and I had been married a couple years. We were teaching school in Alexandria, Indiana, where I had grown up. And we wanted a piece of land where we could build a house. I noticed the parcel south of town where cattle grazed, and I learned it belonged to a 92-year-old retired banker named Mr. Ewell. Now, he owned a lot of land in the area, and word was he would sell none of it. So he gave the same speech to everyone who inquired. I promised the farmers they could use it for their cattle. So Gloria and I visited him at the bank. Although he was retired, he spent a couple of hours each morning in his office. He looked at us over the top of his bifocals, and I introduced myself and told him we were interested in a piece of the land. He said, not selling, he said pleasantly. Promised it to a farmer for grazing. I know, he said, he responded, I know, but we teach school here and thought maybe you'd be interested in selling it to someone planning to settle in the area. And he pursed his lips and stared at me, and he says, what'd you say your name was? And he said, Bill Gaither. Gaither, Bill Gaither. Any relation to Grover Gaither? And Mr. Ewell put down his, yeah, he was my granddad. And Mr. Ewell put down his paper and removed his glasses. Interesting. Grover Gaither was the best worker I ever had on my farm. Full day's work for a day's pay. So honest. What'd you say you wanted? I told him again. He said, let me do some thinking on it, and then come back and see me. So I came back within a week, and Mr. Ewell told me he had the property appraised. I held my breath. And he said, how does $3,800 sound? Would that be okay? Well, if that was per acre, I would have to come up with nearly $60,000. So I repeated, $3,800? Yeah, he says, 15 acres for $3,800. I knew it had to be worth at least three times that. I readily accepted. And then nearly three decades later, my son and I strolled that beautiful, lush property that had once been pasture land. And I said, Benji, you've had this wonderful place to grow up through through nothing that you've done, but because of the good name of a great granddad you never met. Wow. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. And integrity and honesty is what we should always be pouring forth. Verse 27, I'm going to read through 31. In the 250th year of Azariah, king of Judah, the Pekah, the son of Remaliah, began to reign over Israel and Samaria and reigned 20 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. You think they'd be getting it by now, you know, this being evil is not working, but no. And they did evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. In the days of Pekah, the king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Ijon and Abel Beth Maacah and Genoa and Kedesh and Hazor and Gilead and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria. And Hoshea the son of Elah made a conspiracy against Pekah the son of Remaliah and smote him and slew him and reigned in his stead in the 20th year of Jotham the son of Uzziah. And the rest of the acts of Pekah and all that he did, behold, they're written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. So this Tiglath-Pileser, a king of Assyria, captured the tribe of Naphtali. And Pekah, one of those guys that lived by the sword, he also died by the sword. He was killed by Hoshea. And there is the principle shown here, the principle of sowing and reaping. We reap what we sow. We gather what we plant. Verse 32, I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, began Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit, the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burned incense still in the high places. He built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? In those days the Lord began to send against Judah Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father, and Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. So Judah's being attacked by the kings of Syria and Israel, and they will soon enter into Assyrian captivity because they tolerated idolatry, and God had told them. Way back in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So five kings follow Zechariah, and they continued in the sins of Jeroboam, the calf worship again, all these sins in departing from the Lord leading to their downfall. In fact, Hosea 8:4 says, they have set up kings, but not by me. This is the Lord speaking. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. And it's a good lesson here. We need to be careful what we worship, because we tend to do the things we like and not necessarily always the things that we need to do. Chapter 16. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places, and on the hills, and under every green tree. So Ahaz rules in Judah here. He's not a good king. He says he sacrificed the children to Marduk and Baal and Molech. And it's not like they didn't know better. You know, we know God puts right and wrong within our heart. He writes it in our heart. I remember even when I used to watch over the two-year-olds in the toddler room, one would pick up something to hit somebody else over the head with it, and they'd look around to see if anybody was watching. You know, they knew what they were doing was wrong. But in Leviticus 18:21, he says, "Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech, or to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Deuteronomy 18:10-11, There shall not be found among you any one that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses a divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Necromancers, necro means death, and people that deal with the dead. And to pass through the fire means they'd sacrifice their children on a fiery altar. And I believe it was Molech. It was a big brass hollow god, and they would start a fire inside of it and get it red hot and place the babies on a tray, and they would basically fry to death on there. It's gruesome and awful, and it's hard to even comprehend. Verse 5, "Then Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him." And if you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 7, we're going to read through 14 verses there. But Ahaz, he wouldn't listen to God. And Isaiah challenges him in chapter 7 of Isaiah, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in the days of," pardon me, "in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the people of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord to Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou, and Shear-Jashub, his son, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, Take heed, and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, and that it be not a people." It's going to eliminate the tribe. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria. And the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spoke unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahab has said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Isaiah is basically telling him, you know, these kings aren't going to last, but the God of the Jews will, and he will also, the God of the Jews will be born in human flesh. And so be encouraged by the sign. And we know that this was fulfilled through Jesus. And as we were singing tonight, the song that talked about who is worthy to open the scroll and all, it just reminded me of Sunday in Revelation 5, talking about that. It was written from that. At that time, verse 6, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Eleth to Syria and drave the Jews from Eleth. And the Syrians came to Eleth and dwelt there unto this day. And to this day means till 2 Kings 16 was written anyway. Now, interesting note here, this is the first time the word Jews is used in the Bible here in 2 Kings 16. Verse 7. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house, and then sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it and carried the people of it captive to Kir and slew Rezin. So Ahaz appeals to the king of Assyria here, even gives him money from the house of the Lord. It was money that Uzziah and Jotham had put there, and he took money out of the king's house also. But he's basically opening the door now to an Assyrian captivity that will be coming. Verse 10, and the king Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz went up to Urijah, the priest, the fashion of the altar, and the pattern of it, according to all the workmanship thereof. And Urijah, the priest, built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Urijah, the priest, made it, it says against King Ahaz, it means before. Urijah, the priest, made it before King Ahaz came from Damascus, or prior to. And when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached to the altar and offered thereon. And he burnt his burnt offering and his meat offering, and poured his drink offering, and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings upon the altar. And he brought also the brazen altar, which was before the Lord, from the forefront of the house, from between the altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the altar. And King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, upon the great altar burn the morning burnt offering, and the evening meat offering, and the king's burnt sacrifice, and his meat offering, with the burnt offering of all the people of the land, and their meat offering, and their drink offerings. And sprinkle upon it all the blood of the burnt offering, and all the blood of the sacrifice, and the brazen altar shall be for me to inquire by. Thus did Urijah the priest, according to all that King Ahaz commanded. Now, Jewish kings didn't normally make official visits to other kingdoms. Instead, they usually stayed in the promised land. But this was more than a visit. This was, in a sense, it was an official act of submission from Ahaz to this Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. And while he's there, Ahaz sees this altar design that he likes, and he wants one just like it. Even though God had already given him the design of the altar in Deuteronomy 27, It's a long chapter. You can read through that design if you like. Now, we won't go into it here. But King Ahaz sent Urijah the priest the design of the pagan altar, and Urijah imitated that pagan altar at Damascus. And he had it ready by the time Ahaz arrived and returned. So this is the latest trend in altar design. He took that and made it into a place of national worship in Judah. And it's dangerous when we want our will in things and not God's. And when we look on what's fancy instead of what's right. It's sad when the church begins to look like the rest of the world. And that's what he's doing. He's saying, you know, let's look at some of the newer designs for altars here. Amazing. Verse 17. I'll read to the end of the chapter. And King Ahaz cut off the borders of the bases and removed the laver from off them and took down the sea from off the brazen oxen that were under it and put it upon a pavement of stones. And the cover for the Sabbath that they had built in the house and the king's entry without turned he from the house of the Lord for the king of Assyria. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaz, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead. So Ahaz has a new altar. It's a pagan altar, but you know, this is the new thing. God's altar's got to go. We got something new here. This is a nice design, is the idea. But this is an ungodly exchange, taking away the good and putting in the bad. And Ahab here shows his disrespect here for the temple of the true and the living God and the instruments that God had provided for them. He stripped all that and he moved it. And it ends with the death of Ahaz. Son of Hezekiah, his son Hezekiah takes over. It's an amazing thing. This godless Ahaz has a son, Hezekiah, a godly leader that we'll learn about in the next chapter. It's as we go through these, it's amazing that they've only documented you a few paragraphs for some of these kings of their reign and of their death. But it's a good example of how nations that abandon God will be abandoned by him. And it gives me fear, and well, not fear. God's not given me the spirit of fear, but a power and love of a sound mind. But I fear for our nation. I'm afraid for our nation because we've turned our back on him. But we can remember in Genesis 18:32, it's Sodom and Gomorrah. And Genesis 18:32 says, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found here. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And he counts down from there. We know the story. But I look at that with hope, though, because I'm thinking he didn't judge Sodom and Gomorrah at that time because the righteous were there. I think the only reason he's holding his hand off America from being severely judged is because the righteous are here, God's righteous, the Christians that are living here. And we're only righteous because we have faith in Jesus Christ. I was blessed to watch a news show of Governor Abbott down in Texas talking about the shooting. And he says, we know this is evil, and the only reason I know it's evil is because it says so in the Bible. I'm a born-again Christian. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He said that publicly on TV. I loved it. Wow. May that be an example. But there's another problem, too. In Genesis 6:3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You know, we see times when the Lord is saying, look out, you need to look out. But, you know, I'm still gracious for you. Romans 8, chapters 1 and 4 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Why? Because Christ stretched out his arms and paid the price for that. Ahaz's behavior shows us that there's no room in the human heart to be worshiping God and the world at the same time. It's like light and darkness can't be in the same place. We just need to make sure that in this battle for the heart, that Jesus Christ is the victor in that battle that's going on in our heart, that we're looking to him and not looking for new things that are glitzy and new things that look better. That's why I love the fact that we are. I was taught early in Calvary Chapel movement that Acts 2:42 is what we do. We continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. It's simple. We go through the Word of God. We have time of fellowship. We break bread together in communion. We break bread together. For example, this Sunday after service, we'll sit down and eat together, and we pray together. We don't need it to be more complicated than that. We just give the truth out and let the truth work on our hearts. With that, I'll close in prayer. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the victor in our hearts. We know that. We're blessed to call you, Lord. We're blessed to call you Savior because we desperately all needed a Savior, Lord. Everyone needs a Savior. Just many don't know it. So, Lord, any that you bring us in contact with over this next few days, week, month, give us the boldness and the grace and the love to profess your truth, Lord, that might lead others to faith in Christ, Lord. We look forward to that time when the last soul gets saved and we're out of here, Lord, when you beam us up, Lord. In the meantime, Lord, help us to be busy with your work. Your will be done, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.